Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, folks. Welcome to the Elijah Winfrey Show. I'm your host, Elijah Winfrey, joined each week by my fabulous, wonderful, and talented co-host, Tony Boucher. We have another great show lined up for you this week with an outstanding guest that we will get to momentarily. But as we always do, let's get you caught up on the past week that was for Tony and I. Tony, I'll give you the honors. What was your week like? What have you been up to?
Oh, sure. Well, I have been doing a lot of work on developing some workshops for folks here in the Low Country, and I'll actually let our guest tell you about one that she is going to be doing when we get her on. And that's really about it, is focusing on, you know, developing workshops. How about you, Eli?
Well, it's been a pretty busy week. As you know, my nonprofit team, Winfrey, is all about, you know, trying to make the holidays special for families that are less fortunate. And, you know, I am proud to say that we've been involved with a few families this holiday season. And, you know, I've been out and about shopping and getting things done on that end. And I'm super excited. You know, there's a story that I want to share. I can't right now, but in time. I definitely have a story that I want to share with the listeners about a specific family that I'm working with. It's very touching to me. Gets me teary-eyed just thinking about it. So I look forward to sharing that very soon. Also on the Team Winfrey front, I am excited to announce that we will be sponsoring a PGA Junior League. It's a golf league for the youth, and we are partnering with the First Tee. So I am very excited about that, and I'm always looking for ways to empower, you know, our youth and you know, give them a voice and put them in the spotlight and on the pedestal to do great things. So I'm excited to be a part of that, and I look forward to being involved in that process. My playing schedule for the 2018 season is close to complete. I can announce that I will be playing in the state of Texas for the first time ever. That's been on my bucket list. Texas is a dream spot for me. I don't know about my wife or my son, but for me, I've always wanted to go there and visit, and so I'm looking forward to playing there next summer. It's going to be right, I think, either outside or in the Austin area. So I'm looking forward to doing that. Yeah, so I'm excited. I'll also be going back to Springfield, Missouri. I can now say that as well, visiting my autism family there, Linda, Elizabeth, Shelley, Jan. I'm so excited, Dana, Brenda. It's a never-ending list of great people in Springfield. So I'm excited to get back there next summer and see what they've been up to, and I think they want me to be a motivational speaker or say a few words at their workshop that they're going to have. So I'm excited to be a part of that. So busy week, you know, as always. Nothing really ever
sounds like
changes.
Your calendar's building up for the year too.
Yeah, absolutely, it is. It's always building, and then I have to take some things away and put some things back. So I'm excited nonetheless.
Yeah.
I'm very excited. So, with that being said, you know, our guest today, and Tony, I'll give you the honors to introduce her. She's doing great things in the community, and as always, you know, we make these connections, and we want to make sure we get these guests on the show to share their message and what they're doing to help others. And Tony has once again, you know, found an amazing guest. And with that being said, Tony, I'll let you do the honors. Oh, I think Tony may have dropped off there. I'll do the honors. Katie.
Yes.
Katie.
Am
I pronouncing your name right? Katie Hodgson?
You sure are. Hodgson. It's a little tricky sometimes to pronounce. Thank you for having me on the show.
Outstanding. There's Tony.
Hello.
Welcome to the show.
I lost it. Sorry. Yes, welcome, Katie.
Thank you, Tony.
Outstanding. So, now,
Katie,
go ahead, Tony.
I wanted to have you on the show because you work with folks on something that I think is really important and is really very not known about or misunderstood. Mm. And so as an executive function coach, can you tell us a little bit about what exactly executive function is and why it's important to people?
Absolutely. So as you mentioned, I'm an executive function coach with Beyond BookSmart, and what executive function skills are really those essential life skills that you need to be independent and effective, either learner or worker, whatever your goals might be. So some of the executive function skills include things like organization, time management, planning and prioritizing, being able to regulate your emotions so that you can get tasks done, and your emotions like feeling overwhelmed don't get in the way of starting work, being aware of sort of your own strengths and opportunities for growth and what works for you and where you need to make adjustments and being able to reflect on that. And a lot of, you know, children and young adults who struggle with executive function skills can be quite smart and struggle with turning in their assignments on time or even just being able to know how to prepare for a test. They might understand the content but then perform really poorly on the test, or may not be able to manage when they're in college going to class and when do I start a project and how far in advance do I turn in studying and self-advocating and things like that. And so we really work with them on helping them to teach concrete strategies so that they can be more effective.
Outstanding. Now, how did this all come about for you? Where did you find this passion to do this?
Mm-hmm. So I started as a speech-language pathologist, and I worked about 10 years in a public school system. And while I was there, I noticed I was in a middle school, high school, and I just noticed this population that were quite bright and were getting ready to graduate high school but didn't have the life skills they needed to be successful either in college or in a job or a trade school after high school. So I worked with the school system, and we tried to implement a fifth year and some programming to really sort of develop those executive function skills. But as we know, you know, there's limited resources sometimes in public school systems. And so I found this company called Beyond BookSmart, and they work one-on-one with students. And so it allowed me the chance to really make that direct impact and really individualize what I'm doing with kids. And young adults in helping them to make that progress and reach those goals that they want to reach. And so that's sort of what led me there. I've always had a passion for working with individuals who are on the spectrum, and oftentimes we see individuals on the spectrum struggle with executive function skills and anxiety, emotional regulation, as well as the social skills. And so there's always been a little passion in me for really helping these young adults and kids really feel that success. So it's truly been a passion of mine and something I love.
Outstanding. And, you know, it is so needed in the world today. You know, I think a lot of these kids, they often feel left behind when they graduate. Mm-hmm. You know, there isn't anything else out there for them. And then, you know, from what I see a lot of times in meeting kids and families is they go backwards. They start to what's the word I'm looking for? It's stripped from them a little at a time, right? The things that they've learned and they try to incorporate into the world. So it is a blessing that you are out there and you're active.
I think that's a really good point, Elijah, because, you know, oftentimes what we see is that, you know, we can experience this whether we have executive function challenges or not, but we can get stuck in this vicious cycle where, so all of a sudden I'm out in the world, or maybe I'm in school, whatever the environment is, and I'm no longer, it's taxing my executive function skills. So I'm not being as effective. I'm losing assignments. I'm not making it to appointments on time, or I'm forgetting appointments, or I'm missing tests. And so you're not experiencing that success. And then that leads to, you know, discouragement and a lack of confidence, and then increased frustration. And then that can lead to, you know, putting in less effort, which then, of course, leads to, you know, poorer results and then less confidence. And so I think sometimes they can get stuck in this vicious cycle and can lose some of those skills that they had learned and kind of withdraw. And so
right. It's
important that they have somebody who can help them continue to develop those skills that they need so that they can continue to be active and independent members of the community.
Outstanding.
Well,
outstanding.
Another really excellent point, which is that executive function skills, our ability for our, you know, computer center in our brain that directs things, so to speak, really can vary throughout time. So you might have times in your life where your executive function is working pretty well, and then times when it's off. So this really brings me up to one of the things that I find is really important for in terms of why I really support what you do, and that is that so many times parents have a hard time telling, well, is my child just being lazy? Are they being, you know, just neglectful and they don't really care? Or is it executive function? Are there ways that, and then a lot of times I see kids and young adults and adults getting in trouble or punished when really, you know, something just isn't quite working right, and they need those strategies versus punishment. So how can parents or support people kind of tease that out and know if a kid's just being lazy or if it's really legitimately something's going on that is challenging them?
That's a great question, Tony. And, we're big believers that every child, young adult, adult, wants to be successful. Nobody wants to, quote unquote, fail, right? They don't want to be the kid who's getting in trouble in class or getting in a fight with their parents because they're not turning in their homework or failed another test. So I always encourage parents or, you know, school personnel, clinicians, when you're starting to see that behavior, whatever the behavior might be, and when I, just to step take a step back, when I use the term behavior, sometimes that can be misconstrued as a negative connotation. I don't mean it as in somebody's acting up, but behavior being something we observe, like, you know, picking up a pencil is a behavior. So if we're looking at that, you know, child who completed their homework and didn't turn it in, sitting down with that child or that young adult and saying, okay, so in a very compassionate, non-judgmental way, I see that your homework didn't get turned in or your homework didn't get done or you forgot about this project or the project didn't happen. And asking the question, why? Why do you think that didn't happen? Why do you think you avoided starting your homework? And it's amazing the information you'll find out. And more often than not, it's, I didn't know where to begin, or I was too overwhelmed, or it just felt like too much. And sometimes you might even get the answer of, I didn't want to. And that can sometimes be misperceived as laziness. And I think it's more about, sometimes with executive function challenges, individuals have a hard time being able to initiate a task that is less preferred. So, for example, I didn't want to. My video game is what I really wanted to do, and homework I didn't want to do, right? And so what the skill they need to learn is how in that moment, when I really want to play this video game, but I have homework to do. How do I get myself, how can I regulate myself so that I can choose the homework and do the video game later? Because come college or come I have a job, if I'm choosing the video game and nobody, no adult or parent is there to monitor me for me, and I need to monitor myself, I will fail the class because I won't get the work done, or I'll lose the job because I'm playing video games and not doing the work that I want to do. So helping to identify the why. More 99.9% of the time, there's a why to what's looking like laziness, and exploring that with the individual so that then you can strategize.
Wow, I love what you just said there. And I think it's so important because what I'm hearing is even if it's something that sounds like, I don't want to do, you're saying as a parent or a therapist or a teacher, you can turn that around and say, well, it's not going to be about you being bad or getting into trouble. It's going to be about me helping you with the skills that you need to develop to be independent in life. And I just think that's that can be such a game changer for people in terms of how they view their approach.
You're exactly right, Tony. And I think, the way you just framed that is often how we frame it with, individuals we're working with, because in order to engage in that joint problem solving, it needs to feel like, this is a problem that we're both sort of looking at that is kind of outside of both of us. I'm not blaming you as an individual. I'm not judging you as an individual. It's just something that's happening. So how are you and I, now that we know that it's happening, how are we going to work together to come up with some solutions? And the first solution might not be the best solution, but we're going to try it. We're going to reflect on it. If that one's not the right one, we're going to try a different solution until we get the right fit for you, and even just going through that process with an executive function coach, inadvertently teaches them how to, in their own lives, develop those metacognitive abilities of being able to reflect and say, did this work? Did this not? What do I need to do differently? Which is something that we need to do in our relationships with people, that we need to do, in our jobs. Did I wait on that customer effectively? Did I complete this report that my boss wanted effectively, or do I need to make changes? And in school. And so, I think it's all in how we frame it really allows that individual to open up and explore the why and strategize, as opposed to it becoming an issue. And, when we treat it like, one of the examples I like to, when I do professional development with teachers, is talk about when we label it as laziness. Well, they're just being lazy. Well, if we label it that way, then there's no solution, right? There's no strategy building. It's just that we're just labeling it and we're saying, so there's nothing I can do. But if we say, well, I'm seeing such and such. Every other child in the class is opening their book and starting their work and, Julie isn't. So instead of saying Julie must be lazy, let's say, I wonder why Julie isn't. Let's see if we can get to the source. Let me ask Julie. Julie, I noticed you didn't open your book today. Is everything okay? Why do you think, I noticed the other kids opened their books. Why do you think maybe you didn't? Oh, I was daydreaming. Okay, so now we know that she was distracted. And we got to put some strategies in place to help with staying focused. So it just allows for skill building, which is educators and professionals and therapists, and parents, that's our goal, right? To help individuals develop skills and strategies so that they can be independent.
I think it's wonderful. Absolutely. That you just said the first solution may not be the right one. And that's 100% okay, because part of the skill building is helping that individual learn to problem solve. And like we all do in life, we sometimes come up with the wrong solution the first and third time around. You just figure it out. So I think especially for parents who really feel that pressure on them to get it right with their kids, that could be tremendously freeing to realize it's not about getting the right solution. It's about going through a process and it's okay mm-hmm. if it doesn't work. That's mm-hmm. a really, I think, important message for, especially for parents to have.
Yeah, and I think, you know, one of the most common things I hear from parents that I think is probably the most challenging is when, you know, kids with executive function challenges can often be impulsive. So mom or dad says, you know, I need you to take out the trash, and I don't feel like it. And it feels like, you know, they're talking back. And in a sense, you know, it is. But it's really that they're lacking that filter of being able to kind of pause and go, all right, I may not want to, but mom doesn't want to hear that I don't want to. She just wants me to take out
right.
the trash. She's just going to take it out.
mm-hmm.
So that there's not a conflict, right? And so mm-hmm. there's a lot of times this push and pull at home, whether it's chores or developing a routine or starting homework, which is, you know, can be the homework battle can be a tricky one. And one of the strategies is to really sit down and talk to your child and see if you can strategize together. Because I think sometimes what happens with children who are impulsive is you will get that pushback, particularly if you're asking them to directly do something. But I think if you give them choices, do you want to take out the trash now or do you want to take it out after dinner? So they're still meeting your objective, which is taking out the trash, but you're giving them two choices, you know, or problem solving together. I'm needing you to take out the trash. It feels like I'm reminding you a lot and it's not happening. What could we do together so that the trash gets taken out? Well, maybe a sticky note, that might help me. Okay, let's try that. And then we'll reflect and see if it worked. So as opposed to, you know, having that back and forth of, I want you to take out the trash, you're not taking out the trash. I want you to take out the trash, you're not taking out the trash, which is so frustrating for the parent.
Why don't you ever listen to me? Right, why don't you ever listen?
It does. It just becomes
right.
negative.
It's exhausting for parents. It's exhausting. I feel their angst, you know,
yes,
you know, when they share their stories with me.
Wow, that's wonderful. Now, tell me this. What has been the most challenging? This is a two-part question, by the way. And mm-hmm. and what has been the most rewarding part of what you do with these kids and adults?
Probably the most challenging. So we work with, you know, children who have different, what we call mindsets, which is basically how open they are to change. You know, there are some kids that we work with and their parents have hired us to work with them and they don't want a tutor. You know, they don't want a coach. they don't
right.
want to work out of school. They don't want to see me.
mm-hmm.
And then you have other students who you know, they recognize that, yeah, I'm struggling a little bit. Maybe something will work. I guess it's okay if you come work with me and help me. Right. So, helping the student who hates school, who doesn't feel successful about school, doesn't feel successful about themselves, and the last thing they want is after school, somebody coming to their house to then work with them on more school.
Right, right.
Helping that
yeah.
child develop buy-in and be able to recognize one small benefit of coaching with me. And that's probably the biggest challenge, and it's also my greatest success. Being able to take that same child from that place of, I hate school, I don't want to do this is terrible, it's all the teacher's fault, I can't do anything right, and seeing them get to the point of sitting down and studying for a test, you know, several days in advance and having a plan and being able to meet their goal in terms of their academic goal of how they perform on that test and then feeling really good about it and getting that text message from them that says, hey, I just got an 89. I tried that new strategy. Like, that is one of the most rewarding things.
I love it. It's like I say this a lot. It's like the journey and the process, right? They remember the journey and what it took to get to the 89. You know, it wasn't so much about the end game. It was about, hey, I remember this thing that you taught me and this way to go about it. And look what happened, you know? That's great.
It's all about the journey. Yep, I agree with you. Mm-hmm.
Now, talk to us a little bit about your workshop today. I know that it's going to be on here relatively on Facebook relatively shortly. Talk to the listeners about what that's about.
Well, I'm really excited. You know, Tony and my Hannah have invited me to do some workshops online on different executive function topics. And today we're going to be exploring using Facebook Live as a new platform, which I'm really excited about because I think it has the opportunity for more people to have access to the free workshop. You know, so many people are on Facebook. It's very exciting. So the topic today is going to be on anxiety and executive function skills. So for parents out there, you know, for those children that you have who have a hard time getting started with work because they feel like it's too hard or it's too much, or they sit down and they do their work and they quit because they feel overwhelmed or they get stuck and they don't know how to figure out how to get unstuck. Or the ones who say, I can't, I don't know how to, and they walk away from it feeling discouraged. Or the ones who get really anxious. Those are the kids we're going to talk about today. We're going to talk about how does that impact being able to get started with homework, being able to, you know, plan and prioritize, and what are some strategies that you can do at home that will help, one, reduce that anxiety, and two, also help them with organization, getting started in planning. You know, one of the things that happens with our brains is that when our emotions intensify, our brains are no longer able to problem solve. They hit a certain point where it's just reacting to emotion, and we don't problem solve effectively. And what happens is the part of our brain where our executive function skills are housed is in the front of our brain, right behind our forehead, and our emotions are deep in the brain. And so all of a sudden, things shift from the front of our brain all the way down deep into our brain, and we're not working effectively. So we have to teach kids strategies to bring those emotions down low enough so that their brain is able to problem solve again. And they're able to approach their homework. They're able to prepare for that test. And, of course, they're able to feel better because nobody feels good when their anxiety is high. So that's going to be our workshop today. I'm excited about it. Yeah, I am too.
Listen, we greatly appreciate you taking the time to be on the show. You know, this is your platform. So, Katie, if you ever – you want to come back on, you know, we highly recommend it. If there's a message or there's something that you want to get out to the public, please don't hesitate to contact me or Tony. This is why, you know, we do the show you know, I want to make sure that, you know, all of the voices out there that are helping individuals, whether they're on the spectrum or not, are heard. Because there's such a story to tell, there are tons of resources out there, and I want to make sure that, you know, that I give them the platform to showcase that. So Tony and I really appreciate it, and you know, Tony, she always finds these amazing guests for the show, you know, and I am forever grateful.
Spoiled, you know. I feel so. Grateful to have so many wonderful colleagues, you know, to work with. So,
yeah. Well, I appreciate so much, Elijah and Tony, you both inviting me on the show. Elijah, you're doing such wonderful work for your community. You know, such a privilege to be on the show And I'm excited to hear about the upcoming positive story that brings you to tears. So,
yeah.
Because it's going to be something good for somebody, and I love those kind of stories.
Oh, I do too. I don't cry much, but when I do, it's a river, and this family just touch me in a way that I feel like I want to tell, but you know, out of respect, I want to make sure that.
Right.
You know, it's okay for me to do that. So, but it's coming for sure. Good. I'm sure they wouldn't have a problem with it.
Good.
So.
Good.
Thank you. Thank you so much. And I'm going to try to tune into this workshop. And is there anything else you want to promote?
Tell them how to find you.
Yes, please.
Oh, I'm sorry, Tony.
I'm sorry. We're all talking at the same time. We're all excited. Katie, did you tell people how to find you? So the Facebook workshop is going to be on Facebook at myhannah.org. And Katie, did you let them know where, if they want more information from you, how they can reach out to you?
Yes, thank you. So if you would like more information about Beyond BookSmart, which is where we do executive function coaching, it's www.beyondbooksmart.com. And they have a blog, and I encourage you to follow it. There's some really great free articles as well as free tools. We have guest bloggers. It's really informative.
Yeah, you have a great blog. It's very helpful for families.
Yeah, it's a great resource. And you can always contact me at khodgson@beyondbooksmart.com. And that's K-H-O-D as in David, G as in George, S as in Sam, O as in Oscar, N as in Nancy. It's a tricky last name.
Outstanding. Well, my friend, thank you so much. And I'm definitely going to try to tune into the workshop today and continue to educate myself.
Wonderful. Well, look forward to seeing you there.
Okay.
Thanks for
you
taking
care.
The show today. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Outstanding guest. Wow. Powerful stuff.
Yeah.
I love it. I really do. It is so educational. And there's so many things that we all need to learn in order to grow in autism and homelessness and low income and underprivileged families, and this is why we do what we do. So Katie is outstanding, and what she's doing is having an impact on not just those lives that she's touching in their community, but you know, around the world. You know, people that tune in, they'll try some of these. They'll reach out. So it's a blessing.
Yeah, I always learn something new as well. So
absolutely.
Fun to discover those gems.
Yes. Okay. Well, questions of the week before we head out of here. We got two good questions today. One for me and one for Tony, and we will start with the one for Tony. Comes from Tiffany in Denmark, and Tiffany wants to know, Tony, have you ever felt like giving up on an individual who just didn't understand or just didn't care?
Wow, that's a great question. I don't know if I've ever felt like giving up. Sometimes I've recognized that a person is in a place where they may be, it's not right for them to want to work with me. But I wouldn't say I gave up on them. I would say I just know that they're in a place where they don't want to make changes, or they're not in a place where they want to work with me, and that's okay. I think that everybody has their own process that they need to go through, and I can't ever, I'm not the person to judge where other people are at. Your experience is yours, and you know what you need. I do not. So I really view myself more as a facilitator who is there to help people, you know, reach their goals. And a lot of times, you know, those kids that Katie was talking about today, sometimes you have to learn things on your own, in your own way, and
and that's okay. I do know there's, you know, a lot of times those people who are angry or frustrated, I actually like working with people who have anger issues because I see that as a passion and there's hope there. And you can, if you can harness that anger, that energy that you can use, you know, in a productive way. So
right.
I think that that's always a good thing. And so I try never to judge where, you know, I don't know what's best for them. They do. So
right.
I wouldn't give up on people.
And it's funny that you say anger because, you know, a lot of people would say, ooh, you wouldn't want to work with somebody that's so angry, right? You take the opposite approach to that.
Yeah. And I find that anger, you know, can translate into passion. And once that energy goes in the right direction, it can be very powerful in ways that help people to, you know, to really reach the goals that they're wanting to reach, and maybe they just don't know how. So
right.
That's definitely true. Really intriguing question. Thanks for that.
Yeah, that was from Tiffany in Denmark. Let's
go
to Brian in
Seattle.
Yeah, I mean, you know, but the thing about the questions before we get to Brian, they are very well thought out. I mean, some of the stuff that I get in my email, I want to ask that, but that's loaded. Let me see, what's the purpose? Like, what are you hoping to get out of this, the answer, or what are you looking for? So, wow. Okay, Brian in Seattle, he wants to know, Eli, how do you go about teaching those on the spectrum about playing golf? Brian, that's a good question. So I know some of the listeners know that I coached at the First Tee of Seattle, and I would coach, you know, I'd see a few kids on the spectrum here and there in some of the classes, but there's a class specifically with kids on the spectrum, the majority of them, and you know, I was tasked to coach them, and you know, I enjoyed every minute. And the way I approach it, I try not to be no different than any other class that I'm giving, right? I mean, I know they're on the spectrum, but I try to treat them as I would any other student in the class. I like to listen, right? So sometimes, you know, as we are beginning class, and I'm talking to them about their week or how school's going and what they've been up to at home and things like that, I get a gauge of is it going to be about golf today, or is it going to be more about you, right? So I kind of take that wait and see approach, and then as we progress through the beginning of the warm-up, whether we're doing jumping jacks or we're running in place, you know, some may not want to play golf. Some are just there because it's an outlet to just be, you know, I had a student tell me, I'm free. I just want to be free. I just want to watch you do it. You know, I don't want to do it. I want to kind of see you go about your business, and then maybe I'll try, you know. I never raise my voice. That's something that I've had students say, you know, you never get loud. You never, even when the shot's good, you never yell. You never scream. You're very calm, you know. So I try to tell the students, you know, I treat every student, you know, the same. I try to approach the part of the program where we talk about core values and what's really important, right? Is hitting the ball straight 200 yards really important, or is having fun the most important thing, right? I mean, I think sometimes we get caught up in trying to be perfect doing something, and we forget the fun aspect. So, I try to keep it fun. Sometimes we walk and talk. We don't play golf. We walk the golf course, and we just talk about life and what they've been up to. And to me, that's playing golf. Like, you know, when I go out and play, I like to kind of walk the course and kind of think about things and get them to open up. It's a trust thing, I think, in teaching all kids, but kids on the spectrum more so. They want to know that, you know, it's not a one and done. You're not specifically going to be talking golf the entire time and not trying to get to know the kids, you know. So I try to get to know them. And then if golf creeps in and we make it happen in a positive way, then we go about it. You know, there was a drill that I did where I would give them all plastic clubs, and I would say, okay, we're on the range. Here's what we're going to do. As we swing, there's no ball there, but we're going to pretend swing, and you're just going to let the club go. You're going to release the club down the range. It's like a release. Whatever's been giving you trouble all week in school or at home, you throw, you release, and it's gone. Okay, and then we go pick up the club, we come back and do it again. So there's different methods to how I go about it, but I always try to make sure that I relate to them more so than them relating to me. And it's been successful for me. So, Brian, I hope that answers your question. It was pretty long-winded, but that's how I go about it. Okay, let's see. One more question. No. Let's end the show like we always do. I was going to ask one more question. Let's find out what you're going to be doing this weekend, Tony. What are you up to? What are your plans?
Well, the reason I lost you, when the show started and I didn't, I left you guys was I'm driving to meet up with Katie to do our workshop. And so I must have hit a zone where I disappeared. And so I'm going to do the workshop, and then I'm going to spend the rest of the weekend with family.
I love it.
So,
same for me.
How about you? Good for you.
I'm gonna relax and you know, today I'm really gonna kind of, you know, step back a little bit, take the foot off the gas and spend some time with the family and go for a walk at the mall and kind of think about some things and process some things, and gonna try to tune into the workshop continue to educate myself and then get ready for another busy week next week. So not much, you know, this about the same. Things will start getting busier though on the weekend for me coming up. So it's pretty nice that I can kind of rest, you know, these past couple of weekends and kind of get some energy before this last push before the new year hits. So
yeah, I think it's so important. It really is.
Yeah. Absolutely. Well, my friend, it was another great show today. Listen, I know we got about 2 minutes here. I know that I text, and folks, I always text Tony after the show and say great show, and I'm gonna do it again. But I, you know, Tony, I want you to know this whole run has been outstanding. It's been great for me. It's been very educational. You are a light, a bright light, and you know, this show is successful because of you as a co-host and the knowledge that you brought not only to the listeners but to myself. And I'm very appreciative of you always taking time out and being a part of this process and this journey with me. So I just wanted to say that before we leave the show here today.
Well, I have to say something in return then. I feel the same way about you, and I feel this way about our listeners too. I'm really grateful to, you know, get to spend this time every week with everyone. And I, you know, I really appreciate our listeners and you as well. And always leave the show feeling really inspired and happy and purposeful. So thank you for sharing with me.
Anytime. And with that, folks, we wish you a great weekend. Get out there and make someone or something better. It is important. Help thy neighbor. We look forward to seeing you next week. And until then, take care. God bless. This has been the Elijah Winfrey Show on blogtalkradio.com. Bye-bye.